10 years ago today, people around Washington, D.C. took their first easy breaths after 3 weeks of terror.
Police have arrested two men in connection with the search for the Washington, D.C. area sniper. The two were found sleeping in a car at a rest stop along Interstate 70 near Frederick, Maryland.
John Allen Mohammed and Lee Boyd Malvo killed 10 people and wounded several others in Washington, D.C. and its suburbs. They were suspected in at least three other murders around the country. Commentator John Ridley says those crimes hold a lesson for us today.
The events that came to a close 10 years ago were beyond imagination, not just the horror of the crimes themselves. By the time the investigation into the kill spree was over, the race of the key players would defy preconceptions of crime, media, and leadership. At the time the shootings dominated the news, speculation dominated the coverage. Profilers gave a predictive model of the kind of person the shooter most likely would turn out to be, a white male loner in his 30s. Calculated, methodical, repetitive murder is what the Unabomber did. It's what Ted Bundy did. It was not the kind of crime committed by black men. But I have to be honest, and I don't know if it's because I've written crime fiction, but I figured arbitrarily crossing anybody off a list seemed really dumb. And when the snipers were captured and their identities revealed, John Allen Mohammed and Lee Boyd Malvo, a black man and a black teenager, were as different from the profile as one could imagine. And the only legacy that should be afforded Mohammed and Malvo is as a prime example in the argument against racial profiling in police work. Another misconception on race was evident at the fore of the investigation. It was personified in Charles Moose, the chief of the Montgomery County Police Department. A decade ago, in the pre-Obama era, it was still difficult for many to conceive of a black man heading up a multi-departmental investigation charged with saving lives and hunting down killers. And Moose was not the icily stoic black superior officer of some TV cop show. Following the shooting of then-13-year-old Iron Brown, Chief Moose put his emotions on display, standing before a bank of microphones and tearfully vowing that the shooter would be brought to justice.
Now, all of our victims have been innocent, have been defenseless. But now we're stepping over the line because our children don't deserve this.
We saw Moose as we rarely saw people of color in the news, as a fully rounded human being. And there's a kicker with the story, a bizarre intersection with the downfall of a young black hotshot writer for the New York Times, Jason Blair. Though he had no particular skills as a crime reporter, the New York Times inexplicably, and in hindsight ironically, made Blair its lead reporter on the sniper story. Blair's falsified coverage of the crime was so blatant, police and government officials were forced to publicly contradict major portions of his reporting. But because the leadership at the Times couldn't conceive of a qualified reporter as being black, or concede that an unqualified black reporter had to be fired, Blair remained at the paper long after he should have been sacked. For me, 10 years on, the impact of all of these individuals is undeniable. The lives lost, the justice done, and the hypocrisy exposed. And they left us with one thing more. The need for all of us to be open to the possibility of unexpected people behaving in unexpected ways.
Commentator John Ridley is the screenwriter for the upcoming movie 12 Years a Slave.